It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
You've never heard Jump the Shark?
That's not a saying.
Absolutely, it's a saying. You know that saying, don't you, Noodles?
I've heard it before, but if you ask me to define it...
Dude, we worked together every day for 3.5 years. You've never said Jump the Shark.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I have to wonder about our producer when she gets in her ear saying... Any interest in some Doritos?
Yeah.
Like,
what's going on there? Like, how do you not go down and pick them
you
up?
You actually, for the first time, you yelled at her.
Yeah.
No, I didn't yell. I just...
You said, get the Doritos here now.
Even if you have to go down and get them yourself. That's what you said.
No, but not, like, forcefully.
No,
do that, we would sign off on that. Because sometimes if I look back there and I don't see Steph, it can throw me off a rhythm. But I'm more than willing for her to leave for the next hour and a half if she has to, if she's coming back with a box of
100%.
Doritos. Like, and that was the point.
Kicked the glass there. She's giving us attitude, like, oh, you know, we'll get them. I said, just go down and get them.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because me and my cousin, Doozer, we spend a lot of time together on the weekends, and we debate about, like, the pre-meal kind of snack, how, like, luxurious it should be. If it was me, it would be three things. Triscuits, cheddar cheese, and pickles.
What?
That's a horrible trio.
It's a terrible trio.
It's really bad trio.
I'm not going to go to a store and spend $100 on a charcuterie board. No thanks, no way, no how. I think it's Triscuits, a slice of cheddar, and a dill pickle, like a little slice of it, on top of that. And you have the best snack on earth.
I don't see where pickles come into that.
I don't like
pickles to an extent. I'm not a straight pickle guy. Like pickles on burgers or sandwiches or something I can handle, but I can't remember the last time I picked up a pickle like straight and ate a pickle. But Triscuits just don't do the job.
Those as crackers. They're kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm not
a
fan.
Weird texture to them.
We're not on the same
page. I like saltines, like a premium plus.
But those are still, what are we, in jail? Like saltines and and Triscuits. Like
saltines.
If we can boost our ability to get better products, let's do it.
If you're not going to get it, like an expensive charcuterie.
It's called like Cars or something. Cars, is that what they're called?
C-A-R? Well, there's the, I'm looking at it
right now. I bought some yesterday.
There's a type of...
No, but I'm just saying, if you guys don't want to go overboard, you're going to a dinner party and you're responsible for the pre-dinner kind of...
I think you make a dip if you can. You go dip.
Yeah.
No way.
Cars,
so all you're going to do is you're going to buy Ruffles and hell of a good dip.
No, I'm talking like really a quality dip.
A spin dip?
A spinach dip.
Yeah, see, that's my cracker. The Cars table cracker.
Oh, dude, that is the veteranest most...
Hey?
Stripper buffet cracker.
But they have like an assortment.
Some guy texting in saying, I'm on board with the O-Dog. Best snack ever. Talk dirty to me, O.
I will. And if you ever have that, I'll come over and we'll talk dirty to each other.
That is
it's
just,
sexual. Yeah. Triscuits, cheese, and pickles. Ugh. There's a sexual.
Dude, it's like a pregnancy thing or something.
Well, Steph should be eating them then.
Well, I told you what my wife, when she was pregnant, how weird some of her dietary decisions would be. I came home one day. She was eating corn on the cob and toast. I'm married to Nacho Libre. Like, corn on the cob and toast. Like, sitting there, just mowing down corn. Like, one bite, toast the next bite.
Like, just toast with butter?
Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing?
That's an interesting combo.
She's like, and I don't remember what her response was, but I think it was something along the lines of, I just had a hankering for some corn and toast.
See, I didn't mind that.
There's the nacho. Nacho Libre is one of the most...
I didn't mind the pregnancy because it's like you get the call or the convo like on the couch. I feel like Harvey's. I would literally be in the car calling back saying, what's your order?
I'm with you, man. I would happily run out. Like I hope Steph's going to do for those Doritos soon.
No,
I would go wherever I had to pick up poutine every once in a while.
Ice cream, maybe
a mandarin if need be. A lemon chicken and a Szechuan chicken. Jay's in action tonight. Marco Estrada on the mound. Ed Harris. Ed Vaseline Harris, the old man from Major League. That's who he reminds me of.
He's got something on Eddie?
Crisco. Bardol. Vagisil. Any one of them will give you another 2 to 3 inches drop on your curveball.
Vagisil.
Now,
he was putting on his shoulder.
Estrada's not known for the curve, necessarily.
Dude, you're, right. By the way, that's the wrong comparison.
Yeah, if he's in the clubhouse right now and saying, this jackass is comparing me to a 55-year-old pitcher on Major League.
But the point I'm making is...
Hang on a sec.
He's
we got
old,
anything
the
else
old
on this
reliable.
Character, Marky?
He's
of course, if the umps are watching me close, I just rub a little jalapeno inside my nose, get it running, and if I need to load the ball up a little, just wipe my nose.
That's Marco Estrada,
man. That's your
man.
Comparison to Estrada?
Ed Vaseline Harris. And my reasoning behind that is, Wild Thing would be like Stroman, right?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
maybe Sanchez, whichever one. Like the young guy that everyone gravitates to.
Right.
Yet old man Ed Harris, he gets the ball in the big game because you know what you're getting out of him. That's what I'm saying about Estrada. Like if this four-game series against the Yankees was a playoff series, let's say. They're in the ALDS, and I had the ability to start whoever I wanted to. I'm going to Estrada game one. I think he's a big-game pitcher. I think he's Ed Harris, man.
Before we bring Ray in, can we get the different types of lubricants on the shoulder?
Crisco. Bardol. Vagisil. Any one of them will give you another 2 to 3 inches drop on your curveball.
Ray, did you play with any grizzled veterans that would put Vagisil on their body?
No, I can't say that I did or I have. I've seen guys grease it up, load it up pretty good, but I don't think that was the what they had on their shoulders.
I think a clear indication of a guy out of shape is when they would have put that like deep ice cold on their legs to get some feeling in their leg.
Norm Miracle. Oh. Wasn't that
always Miracle? Always a fat guy that would be like, I got to put this stuff on my legs to wake them up. It's like, no, you're actually out of shape.
And you could smell them from a block away. You're like, what are you doing?
What was that, like, Tiger Bomb?
Yeah, that came in that red tub.
Yeah.
Or it was like a red thing. Tony Esposito at the end of his career, he used to spread that all around his body because the puck hurt. And wow. So that would help him get ready to play. Can you imagine knowing that, okay, every shot I get, I'm wearing basically pajamas on the ice. It's going to hurt. I'm 40. I don't want to be here. That's time to go home.
It isn't good.
Well, and the thing is, too, in any pro sports league, if you get a guy who thinks he's got a trick but it starts working and he gets onto a heater, you know someone's going to lean over and say, let me get some of that Vagisil.
I learned a valuable trick early on. I saw some just grizzled veterans. Just they would grab the Vicks VapoRub and it would rub it all over their chest. And I was thinking, how bad of a cold does this guy have? And then you're like, what is that? What is that move? And they're like, I'm so hungover right now, I can't have the smell of booze coming out of my mouth. And that's why the VapoRub would go on the chest. Safe to say, the next day, there was Vic's VapoRub in my stall. And it was... Why do you find that so funny?
No, I just pictured some grizzled vet so
hungover. Oh, and I mean a dig and just a muckful. And just spread it around, and they smelt like... 30 vodkas the night before, and they smelt like roses. I'm a little congested today, no problem here.
Hey, but just think, so the older guys that were doing that, the coach was probably not much older than them.
Right? No, they 10 were probably years with whatever. Each other out at the bar.
That's what I mean. They're like, who do they think they're fooling? And they're like, okay, I don't smell like booze. Yeah, but you're terrible on the ice.
Yeah.
You can't move. But I smell like Vic's VapoRub. I've got you correct.
Right.
And only one time it didn't work for me. Dallas Eakin skated up to me, and he's like, if you have to talk to Paul Maurice on the ice today, don't even bother. Just don't bother.
He goes, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
The coach would... I love when the guys were, it looked like a green light, and the next day at practice, the coach all of a sudden, he's having one-on-one chats with the guys as they skate around, just smelling who's stinks.
Rave.
And you're like,
Peter Laviolette, I mean, the one thing, his signature move was when he wanted to talk to you at practice, he was a close talker. There was a point, a couple practices, where I had to put both of my gloves in front of my face, and I was talking into my gloves. I'm like, dude, get away from me. Like, get away from me.
Just a steady cocktail of vodka and vapes, or Vicks.
Vicks. Vapo-rub.
Anyway, what do you make of Laviolette's play here when it comes to the starting goaltenders and him trying to pretend as if it's not going to be Pekka-Rinne or potentially may not be for Game 3?
Well, I'll start by saying I don't think that there's, I don't even think there's a question. I mean, UC Soros played 16 minutes last night. He hasn't played since April the 6th.
Yeah.
So they're going to throw him in Game 3?
No, they're not doing that.
They're not doing that. I don't get this whole secrecy about the goalie anyway. Like, to me, it's never made any sense. I think it's stupid. I think it maybe it gives the coaches some sense that they have control of. If the World Series was starting today, we'd know the pitchers for the first four games. That actually matters because, of course, teams are going to jockey around their lineup, left-handed hitters versus right-handed pitchers, etc. If UC Soros starts tomorrow, or Saturday, rather, in Game 3, and they said that in advance, do you think Pittsburgh's going to say, oh, gee, we better take Connor Sheary out of the lineup because he shoots better on a tall goalie than a short goalie? Of course not. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What does it matter? Show some confidence in your guy. Say, not a chance. Pekka's our guy.
Well, Ray, you were obviously a goal scorer. I scored some goals. And, Jamie, you were a goaltender. When you worked with the NHL team, like, Ray, I don't know about you, but, like, I didn't need to see any video about Marty Brodeur or... I'm like, these are the best goalies in the world. To score a goal, you have to make a great shot. You can't, like, game plan on it. I owned Marty Brodeur. I owned Hasek. And I had some success against Patty Roy. I'm like, but I didn't game plan. It's like, you got to make a good shot, and you'll score a goal.
Well, I don't understand, you know, outside of some general things that you can maybe think about a goalie, I'm not coming down on a scoring chance or getting a pass, rather, from the corner, and I've got enough time to go, oh, catch, geez, weak, low blocker over the pad. I should shoot it there. Man, it's on your stick and off your stick. If you wait any longer, it's not going to go in anyway. I scored as many goals against Patrick Waugh as I think everybody but two guys. I think Owen Nolan and maybe Kevin Dineen had more, and I was next. I didn't have a book on him. I just... Man, he's one of the three greatest goalies of all time. He just went in, and when the puck came to you, you shot it. I had an idea. Gee, I'd like to go over his shoulders, but I don't know. Sometimes it went in somewhere else. I don't buy this that you got to protect the starter, and yet it's going to change how a team thinks. If Marty Brodeur was in, we knew we shouldn't dump the puck around the back of the net because Marty would get it and break it out of the net. Dump it into his backhand side. Make him go get it.
I agree.
That was the only thing we talked about.
Well, you talk about tendencies. That's what it is. You know, and if you get a wide open shot in the slot and you're dealing with a guy who's got really good flexibility and covers the ice, what are you going to try and do? You're going to try and elevate it. Outside of that, it is. It's subtle things. And you're 100% right. If UC Soros was deemed that he was starting Saturday, Pittsburgh's not going to change their game plan. They're still going to try and score goals the same way. You know, he doesn't handle the puck as well as Rene, but he is actually really efficient with it as well. He's a good young goalie. But I think it's nonsense for Laviolette to come out last night and protect Pekka and say, you know what, there were mistakes in front of him. He wants some saves, but there were some mistakes in front of him. And then today to go, yeah, I'm not going to let anybody know. Like, it just... Why not come out and say he's our guy and he's a big reason why we're here? He knows he can play better, but the team in front of him can play better, and you move forward. That's it. Like it just, there's no secret here.
Well, and then he also mentioned that you know, the goalies do not know who's playing in Game 3. Well, why not? Like, I don't know when he does it. Really, is it such a secret?
Yeah.
I don't get... I've never understood all of that stuff. Randy Carlyle used to be terrible at it. Like, he would basically laugh in your face if you asked him who was starting in net. Most coaches, they don't know. We're not watch warm up. Okay, guy, I'll get here early to watch warm up. Thanks. Like, who cares? The other team doesn't. Whoever you put in the net, they're going to try and score, and the game plan doesn't change. It really doesn't.
I agree.
Ray, as far as Nashville goes, like, I'm going through Twitter and some of the media today. Like, I understand PK is a guy that likes the spotlight, but did they not need someone else to kind of step up, whether it's by play or just garner some attention, where it's just, this guy is just, I don't know if it's him that wants it or obviously the media wants it, but they need somebody else to step up and take control.
Well, you're right, you do. The problem is I don't know who that would be. Like, who else has that type of personality that would welcome the, you know,
well, ultimately,
media
it's putting
scrutiny.
So much pressure on him. It's like, he's the guy that says everything. We're not going to quit. We're going to win. We're not frustrated. We believe in our goaltender. He's out in front of the cameras. Every media availability, it's like, there's so much pressure on him. It's like, you got to go out there and score two goals, defend the best line, and then speak for everybody. It just seems
a little bit
ridiculous.
The media availability, the media part, was really interesting because I don't know why, but everybody's not available. Like, today's a travel day.
We talked about it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but tomorrow, you're going to have access, the media, to four guys or five guys. So, of course, they're going to request PK. They want somebody that's going to have a quote or something to say. If they can't request, you know, let's go through this. They can't request a guy that doesn't speak English very well. So that guy's out. They're not going to, they'll request Forsberg. They'll request James Neal. Maybe Ryan Ellis. Josi doesn't say a whole lot. Ekholm doesn't say anything. There's only so many guys you can get that can give you a quote, but if they're all there, you can see different stories emerge. Now, if you look through the stories that are written, most of them are about the same because the media has access to very few players. And so a lot of the heat or a lot of the weight of that goes to Subban. I'll go back to the 94 Rangers. Mark Messier was the captain. He was quoted all the time. Brian Leach won the Conn Smythe. I don't think he did two interviews because he doesn't say anything. So the guys that are most quotable are going to be the ones we're going to hear the most from.
But here's the thing, Ray. If I'm a journalist down there, the guy I want to speak with tomorrow is Pecorine.
Yes.
I don't care if he can't speak English.
Where's
very
your head
well.
At?
Where are you at? What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you,
good luck,
Ray?
Good luck getting to him, though.
Well, but they're not even going to make him available. They'll protect him now.
More likely, Pecorine is he's an outstanding guy. He speaks terrific English. He would answer whatever question you want to ask.
See, Ray, tomorrow, I think for the better of the goaltender, it might be better for him to just come out and be like, just put it on the table. What do you think of your own play? Put it out there. You got to be better. Or I got to be the best player, as opposed to just hide in the corner. You're not coming out. It might be better for him.
Well, he spoke last night, and he owned it. He said, I need to be better, and he goes, this is an exciting time. This is my first time to the finals, and I want to embrace it. But he talked about having a short memory and just getting home.
Like, but Laviolette, though, spoke after he spoke.
Right, right.
And now the story has developed more. Now the question would be, do you feel your coach has confidence in you anymore? What do you make of what Laviolette had to say?
Right,
you know, because Laviolette didn't save him. He didn't say
it last night, but not today.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Today is like, no, we don't know who's playing. We haven't told them yet. Suck on that one for a night.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
Yeah, I would. Well, I'll be stunned if Rene's at the podium tomorrow. And again, that's really the only access that you have because they'll say rooms open. A lot of times, teams will open the room at the same time the podium is going on. So the journalists have to be somewhere. They can't be in both places. Like, that's ridiculous. But anyway, that's what they do. Say it's at different times. By the time you get into the locker room, there's 50 people in there, plus the players. They bring them out two at a time or three at a time. And so there's a swarm around a certain player, and Pecorine won't be in one of those swarms. I'd be very surprised.
Yeah.
When we let you go yesterday, we mentioned how we hadn't asked you about Tiger the previous 2 days, and whenever he's playing or whenever we go into a Grand Slam or a major, we're always talking about it. But obviously, the dash cam video was released during the game last night. I don't know if you got to see it when it first came out, but I'm sure you have since. I mean, the whole world has. Man, it's tough. That is tough to watch. What have you made of this whole Tiger Woods story over the past few days?
Well, the first thing I think of is, I guess it's public record and somebody requests it and that's how it gets out. But what is the benefit of that even being out?
I agree.
Do people like that so they can say, ha ha, look at Tiger? Like, the guy's a mess.
It just enables someone to form an opinion, which is, it's not really fair.
Yeah, I don't know, when other guys get DUIs and, you know, Joe Slobotnik gets a DUI, and I don't know, does his video end up online? I don't know. But it just seemed to me that it's more than a little unfair. And it's, like, I think it's crappy what's happened to him. I really do. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I mean, whatever's happened, his life is clearly spun out of control. And why would you want anybody? Why would you want anybody to have to go through that?
Yeah, it was tough to watch, man. And at the end of it, too, when they're asking him, like, is there anything in your pocket or whatever?
Yeah.
And he goes, I got screws in my knees and in my back. Like, that really stood out to me, too. Is like, this guy.
He's how banged up his, guy he's broken, his body man. Is. Like his body is just broken.
It, like, to use a movie analogy, which isn't always fair or actually accurate, but it's almost like he's Bruce Wayne in the beginning of The Dark Knight Rises. Remember, like, the start of the third, the Bane movie?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's just a mess, and you're like, wait a minute, you used to be Batman. Like, Tiger used to be Batman of the PGA Tour. Now he's just a broken down.
It was a sad video. It was tough for me to watch, honestly, and you're right, Ray. It's one of those things where, because it's such an information age that we live in, we have access to it, you watch it, and, man, I felt for him. And I said this earlier, he's lucky. He's lucky he didn't kill somebody or kill himself, because he had no idea where he was.
Yeah, he was blacked out.
And it's not even, I don't feel like, oh, because we're ex-athletes and, you know, we're protecting another athlete. I don't want to see that from anybody. Like, why? I don't see what the benefit is for that to be public. I really don't.
Ray, we're going to finish it off. We had a discussion earlier. I know you're Italian. If you were going to a dinner... What?
Italian. Not Italian. Italian.
Excuse me, Italian.
Yes.
If you were going to a dinner party and you weren't going to go to, like, a fancy place and buy, like, a charcuterie board, what would... Because my snack would be Triscuits, cheddar cheese, and pickles, like dill pickles.
Like, before you go there?
No, like, for the pre-meal, like...
He's bringing that to your house.
Like, that's my snack before the dinner. Triscuits, cheese,
you're bringing that to my house?
How bad would that be?
No, excuse me.
What? It's an honest answer. It would be terrible.
Well, what would yours be if you're not going to buy a nice charcuterie board?
I don't know. Maybe, would you not call ahead and...
No, but it's on you. It's on you.
I feel like we're at Bull Durham. I don't know. Candlesticks make a nice gift. You know, we're dealing with some serious stuff here. Pedro's got a curse on his gloves, and
Ray, you don't have to shrimp,
like one of those shrimp thingies.
There you go.
And
the shrimp ring.
That's, you know, mailing it in.
Well, a pickle and Triscuits is creative.
Yeah, dude,
like, I'm telling you, Triscuits, cheese, and pickles.
7-Eleven on the way, or what?
No kidding.
It's panty dropper.
String
it's
cheese.
Like gin and tonics.
Do you like the cheese out of a can where you can spray it?
No, Steph, you put it all together. The Triscuit, a little piece of cheese, and a little piece of the dill pickle on top. Welcome to heaven, gentlemen.
Steph's pregnant. Okay. You can't trust her palate right now.
Oh, right now. I mean, if it's a shoe with some form of chocolate on it.
Deep fried, exactly. Delicious.
It's the gin and tonic of snacks.
When, you know what I remember... remember when Lunchables were a thing?
Yes.
Come on, guy.
Yeah.
Non-gi.
My older kids were in, like, I don't know, grade four or whatever. I used to eat those things. You'd take the bologna and put it on the cheese on the cracker.
Yeah, it fit perfectly because it was all shaped. You could put together a little puzzle. That's what it was.
Oh, that was outstanding stuff.
What's wrong with Tostitos, man? Bring Tostitos, some salsa.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
I said spinach and artichoke dip. I would be the king of that party.
You know what I like? The blue bag of munchies.
That's okay.
A giant blue bag of munchies.
I can take it or leave it.
In the bowl, you mean?
Yep, you dump it in the bowl, and there's the cheesies, the pretzel, the sun chips, and something, and Doritos.
There's variety in that.
I might add
one more thing to my snack, kibasa.
Well, yeah, kibasa is...
He's got a white plastic bag because he just stopped wherever to pick it up. He's got a big chunk of kielbasa in there, a big block of cheddar cheese.
Non-cut.
And because he was hungry, he's already dove into the Tostitos on the way over.
It's Triscuits. The best part, it's Triscuits.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Triscuits are basically shredded wheat that are flat.
I know.
Monday, we will...
We'll have some.
We will dive in to my snacks.
All right, man. Well, we're wasting your time because you're down in Nashville.
Yeah,
I'm sure you guys have big plans.
We were at Tootsie's. We filmed our hits there. Duffy had to do push-ups because he wasn't paying attention, we're out on the patio at Tootsie's. There's music going on, and Duffy's doing push-ups because he doesn't pay attention. And we're going for dinner, and then we're going to meander our way down Broadway for...
Wow.
A longer shift.
AKA back to Tootsie's.
I'm jealous.
Right back there.
What a shock. The game
noodles,
is on Saturday.
You can jump it. Yeah, you can, Noodles, you can jump here.
If you had any balls, you would just set up a camera, a fake camera, and just rope around an area and act like you're doing hits to get attention.
It was actually quite comical how many people were congregating. We're like, oh, this is actually pretty good stuff.
Yeah, that Canadian media, it's a big hit down there, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, we just happen to be, we're kind of like magnetic people.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Well.
Yeah, or not.
Give us updates.
Like, why are these idiots here in suits? It's 100 degrees. What are they doing?
God, I love that town. Yeah, that would be fun. No game tomorrow night. That means you guys can push the shoot
tonight
to...
is a wee goo.
Oh, it's a green light.
Wee goo.
What about Overdrive here tomorrow?
I would do it in a heartbeat, but Noodles has TV commitments.
Yeah, I could do it. That's hockey hit. You guys are doing that hockey.
Ninja Dust very
hockey.
Shortly.
We can do it from here, Noodles.
I could do TH hits all day, every day, tomorrow. Like, I would fly in.
It is starting to come together here.
I would fly in on an 8 a.m. I would sit at Legends at 11 a.m. You guys can come and get me for the hits, and I'd go right back to Legends and then finish it off. Third floor, Tootsie's, late night.
I think it's all come together.
I'm there.
I think it's time to call Maddie and travel.
Exactly.
Yeah, the wheels are in motion. We'll let you know how it goes.
Good luck. Hope to see you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, live from Nashville, Tennessee.
We got a lot of food talk today. I don't know why everyone's
Monday?
So hungry.
You're going to get the snack of all snacks. Mulls, will you help me prepare?
No, but I'll eat it.
Kibasa. If you bring in
No. You're not getting the kibasa off the start. It's an old school Triscuit cheese and a pick.
I don't like pickles.
I'm telling you, I'm not going to eat it, so don't waste your time.
You don't like a dill pickle?
No, I don't.
As I said, a dill pickle on a burger, I'm okay with.
Can you try it? Can you not say...
I don't eat pickles.
Like zero?
Zero pickles. I don't like pickles. But I will eat the Triscuit and the cheese, and if you bring in kielbasa, I'll cut it up and put it on there as well. I think it's called kubasa. I don't know who the hell calls it kielbasa.
No, dude. It's kielbasa.
It's kielbasa.
I'm Ukrainian.
It's not kubasa. What are you talking about?
Kubasa.
Kubasa. Kubasa.
Kubasa. Kubasa.
Kumite. 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 Kumite.
Johnny Duke.
We need Johnny Duke.
We are off the rails.
Yeah, we are.
Let's pull it together.
All right, come on now. Jays Yankees tonight. Richard Griffin will join us later in the afternoon. Led back to Nashville. Catch up with Bobby Mack around 6:25. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.
This team stretched out a little bit. So we get to the main line. Up a little bit. This is Aloha signature song.
This was her go-to?
Wow.
It's an interesting question. Like, if a peeler gets married, what does she walk down the aisle to?
Can you imagine if it was this? Never mind the traditional piano.
Here comes the stripper. Here comes the stripper.
Round and round. Now crank it up for the crowd walking in the aisles.
If you cannot, if you see a reason why Aloha and Jeff should not be married today,
hang on.
Speak now or forever.
And then crank it. There was no one to have any issues with this marriage.
Aloha, you look so beautiful today. A peeler getting married to Motley Crue. I think it would basically be a layup, wouldn't you say? Has to happen. You see that little greaseball, Mr. Met, down in New York last night?
I agree with him giving the finger out. Did you hear what they did? Did you hear they were beaking him about his mom? It was like they were swearing and like...
You're talking about the
actual person you're saying that was the mascot, Mr. Met for the Mets. He got caught on camera giving guys the finger last night.
Right, but they were heckling him. And it crossed the line, so he gave them the, he flipped them the bird.
How do you know?
But I'm gonna pull the old man theory here. If you're Mr. Met and you put the stupid baseball hat on, you've got one job: not to give anybody the finger.
Here's the thing, though, and I agree with that, but I hate the paparazzi. I've been around people, especially in L.A. You walk out of like a restaurant and you're with somebody who has a little bit of clout. Those paparazzis are always trying to provoke you and say stupid things. And then somebody walks over and suckers one of them. And then like, oh, I'm going to sue. These idiots were chirping the guy and had a video running. And I was just reading about it in the break.
But how do you chirp Mr. Met? Like, what do you mean they were chirping his mom? Like Mrs. Met?
Well,
or the guy that actually is playing?
The guy in the suit's mom.
But do they actually know who that guy is? Like, that's the point. Like, if Mr. Met walked in here, I couldn't tell you who he is or talk about his backstory, and you would think he would understand that they're doing it to provoke him because clearly they don't know who his mom even is.
You're right. You're right.
So how soft is Mr. Met that he can't take some chirping?
Well, Mr. Met, I just told you, he's got the big head on. He's got one thing. You can't give somebody the finger.
I agree. And
I found it comical, though, the actual video footage.
I thought it was
the best part is he's only got three fingers.
One of them was a middle one.
Yeah, because he's got the big hands, I think.
Right.
So I think there's only three fingers on the big hand and the middle one. But there's still a middle one.
Here's the other one, too. Is I was in the building when Mac T ripped off Harvey the Hound's tongue. You remember that?
Yeah, that guy was being an idiot.
He deserved it. He deserved because he was crawling over the glass being an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Mascots can cross a line. And I thought Mr. Met, like he's going to get in trouble because he handed the bird out. But at some point, you got to stand up for yourself.
Well, he's going to get fired. But how do you, like, imagine that conversation. And the truth is, being a team mascot, it can really offer someone the opportunity to go out in a flame of glory.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to condone this or perpetuate it.
If you know you're on your way out, you can just...
You could
gear down on third base. You could...
you could have a time. You could do something.
Like, if Carlton the Bear decided, you know what, I'm done. I know I'm done.
Yeah.
Who knows what that guy could do?
Right.
You could walk up and sucker punch some guy in the seats or throw his head onto the ice. Anything could happen. So don't be that guy. Don't follow the lead of Mr. Met.
Fans were cursing at Mr. Met with the F word and saying derogatory things about Mr. Met's mom, which led to the gesture because of a personal matter with his mom. And then they talked to the idiot who filmed it, and he's like, oh, of course he's denying it. So where do you... I mean,
I just don't understand how you talk about a guy's mom when he's a mascot. Like,
Eric,
I don't...
are you going to say your mom has a big head?
Well, I'm sure there's probably...
I guess.
Things you can say, but either way, mascot has to be responsible. But some of them are idiots, and I don't know. I feel bad for this guy.
Anyway, Jays Yankees tonight. This is going to be a great night of TV because you've got Estrada versus Sabathia, game one of a four-game series. This is a big turning point for the Jays season. I know we say that all the time, but the Yankees are currently sitting atop the AL East, and the Jays are 5.5 back. So you sweep them, you're a game and a half back. You get swept, you're 9.5 back.
Right.
And Boston's starting to win some games. They won again last night. It feels like the Red Sox maybe are starting to figure things out. And based on talent, they were the odds-on favorite to win the division anyway. Which means if you want to get into that wild card spot, and specifically maybe home field in a wild card spot, you got to pass one of the Yankees or the Red Sox in the end. And it feels like maybe the Yankees would be the team to target. So you got that going, and then the NBA Finals tonight finally going down at 9 o'clock. So it's actually perfectly set up in terms of staggering. Jays at 7, NBA Final at 9 o'clock, and I think it's probably in the best interest of the NHL to get out of the way. Do not be playing when the NBA is
playing. How do they stagger going forward? Are they all...
The NBA's got a ton of days off, which is strange because they're off. They're off.
Tell me they're playing one game and then they're having a 2-day break.
No, I think they go Saturday. I'd have to look it up. I think maybe they're up against the NHL on Saturday night, but then they're doing the same thing the NHL is doing, like 3 days when you're moving from Golden State to Cleveland.
Dude, 3 days going from city to city. I don't care where they're located. That's nuts.
Actually, they're going Thursday, Sunday. So they've been off for a week. They play tonight. They're off Friday, Saturday, back again Sunday in the same city.
Wow.
And then they're off Monday, Tuesday, and back again next Wednesday. So
well, it's all TV.
It's all TV.
It is. It's prime time.
But two games over the course of 6 days.
Why wouldn't you want to go Saturday instead of Sunday?
But Sunday is their...
Sunday's prime time. Sunday night.
Why? Because it's lazy and they're just sitting around?
Yeah. Families are home. People are home. Kids are home.
You're going to get $30
million. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. Like we talked about this before, man, they are taking a page out of the NFL's book. The more you make people wait, you would think it goes the opposite way where they find something else to do. That doesn't happen with sports fans. No. The more you make them wait, the higher the anticipation, the bigger the numbers, the bigger the buzz. Because that is ridiculous. Thursday, Sunday, after a week off in the same city, you're not traveling from Golden State to Cleveland.
Yeah.
What are they doing on Saturday night? Nothing. But they're just thinking, let's sit back and wait.
I agree.
And the NHL, at least they're moving from Pittsburgh to Nashville.
Right, which isn't that far either.
No, they could go Friday night, but they're thinking, drag it out, right? I mean, that's what these TV companies pay a fortune. And in the NBA, it's more understandable because they paid so much money and the rest of the playoffs were so bad. This is what you've been waiting for a year. This is it. This is the NBA. The past 3 years, the only thing that's been relevant is Golden State versus Cleveland for 2 weeks in June.
Yeah.
And here we go again.
Well.
And as I said earlier, and I've been saying this week, I'm on Golden State, but I want to see LeBron win. I'm pro LeBron. After what happened yesterday, I don't think that affects the game. I mean, I'm not going to try to sensationalize that because his house was vandalized, he's going to be more motivated. This guy doesn't need motivation.
See, these guys are, to me, Brian, when you don't have a horse in it, I support LeBron winning, and I like Steph Curry so much. I like watching him. I like watching him win, too. It's like one of those things where they're both athletes, where none of them rub me the wrong way, where I don't say, I don't want that guy to win. It's a bonus for me.
I don't want them to win, Golden State. They tried to load up. I'd like to see them fail. I don't know why.
They're a super team.
That's me being an idiot. I don't know.
Yeah, well, listen.
See, I miss those days of teams loading up, and whether you think it's fair or unfair, I don't think anything's fair in sports. Like, imagine the Leafs, the power they could have if they had Austin Matthews and these young kids, and they could load up, and not that there's anybody good available anymore. I just like seeing that. I like the power element.
But wouldn't that be the ultimate troll job if they went and loaded up and LeBron still found a way to beat them?
I think it would solidify his status as the greatest player of all time.
That's kind of what I guess my mentality was wrapped.
By the way, how are the, like, Van Gundy came out the other day and he's like, I wouldn't be surprised if Golden State, they go to 8 to 10 finals in a row. I think if you're having general manager meetings with pro scouts and coming up with a game plan for the future, what the hell is your game plan?
I think that's
a
bit extreme. Like that's extreme. 8 to 10 straight. Yeah, very
hot. It was a hot take.
Scorching.
And there's money coming in involved in this. How are they going to afford to keep this group together? But when you look at it, maybe he's not far off.
Well, if we had Antonio Daniels on an hour ago, and he brought up a great point, that Kevin Durant reportedly being willing to take less money to stick around, maybe be careful with that, because there's no guarantee Steph Curry will do that. No guarantee Klay Thompson will do that.
There's
or Draymond
no guarantee
Green.
Anybody will do that.
No.
When it comes down to it, they might say, I want to get paid.
Durant may say it now, and then maybe gets a ring, and he's like, that's good enough for me.
Bye-bye.
I'll go back to Oklahoma City and get paid a fortune. Do what LeBron did. He went back to Cleveland. I'll go back to OKC. So I think it's way too early to say that they're going to go to 8 to 10 straight. But at the same time, they've
that
been to 3 straight.
That would spice things up if he went back to OKC.
That would be quite the story,
would
man.
Would he be welcomed?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the exact same situation as LeBron at Cleveland.
Yeah,
hate his guts.
His jersey.
Comes back. We love you again.
Yeah.
Love you
Fair
again. I think they would take him back in a heartbeat. Richard Griffin in about 10-15 minutes teeing up this four-game series with the Yankees in town. Bobby Mack as well, looking back on game two of the Cup Final. Are the Preds done? What do you make of P.K. Subban guaranteeing a win in game three? Said that last night. He circled back again today with even more conviction. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Overdrive continues. We'll catch up with Richard Griffin ahead of the four-game series with the Yankees in town. We were joking about it yesterday, people jumping back in the bandwagon, and how many people would have bought tickets back in the winter thinking, let's rev the engine back up again. Let's get down to the Rogers Center, because I think they can go to a third straight playoff appearance and maybe get past the ALCS this year. And then they start 2-11. And at one point, they were, I think, 6-17. 11 games under 500, and just passing tickets out for free.
I know.
I'm not going to see this team. They're toast. And now they go on a big run in the month of May.
Feeling pretty good about themselves.
Turn the sked over a little bit. We're into June. They're a game under 500, and the Yankees are in town. And I'm thinking a lot of people are reneging on the idea of giving away tickets.
Sure. Those tickets are a hot item now.
It's a must-see event, man. I mean, Sunday, you've got Stroman, Severino, two young arms pitching really well, fired up guys on the mound.
Yep.
And the Yankees are someone that you want to see, too, because a lot of Yankee fans show up at the Rogers Center whenever they're in town. They happen to be very good this year.
Yep.
And I think Aaron Judge is turning into a guy that people really want to pay tickets to go see.
For sure.
He's a beast. You know, mid-20s, all he does is hit bombs. I think he's got 19 home runs. He can become the youngest Yankee to hit 20 home runs by the All-Star break since, like, Roger Maris in 1960.
Wow. It's
he's must-see TV.
It's
the Yankees.
That's what you're saying. It's must-see right now, and the Jays are on fire. If they can sweep this series, I know it's getting
sweep
ahead of myself.
Feels like you're asking a lot, but the way they're playing.
Win the series. How about win the series?
You take 3 of 4, I'll sign off on that right now.
That's what you're signing off on?
I think the Yankees would sign off on a split right now.
Really?
I think they would, because then you stay 5.5 up on the Jays, you keep kind of plugging away.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they would sign off on a split at the Rogers Center. I think the Jays feel a lot greedier than that, and they're saying, man, we've won 8 of 9, we're getting healthy, Liriano's back tomorrow night.
That, yeah.
I would gamble and say, let's play it out. And if you're the team chasing, mm-hmm. you need to gamble. You need to be thinking, we need to win 3 or 4 here if we can, because we got to start chipping away. Richard Griffin, again, in about 10-15 minutes to help us tee up that series. And Bobby Mack, looking back on Game 2 again, we'll start looking ahead to Game 3 of the Cup Final. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.